Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Doctors at McLean Hospital in Belmont say they've come up with a biological way to test for autism by using an MRI to measure how and where water flows in the brain. They say this new method could eventually replace the subjective test currently used to diagnose the disorder. To find out more about what this development could mean for the diagnosis and research into autism, we turn to Nicholas Lang, who's the lead author of the new study. He says the test could bring about significant changes.
Even though autism was first recognized almost 70 years ago, there is no biological indicator of its presence that can be used. The autism is diagnosed by a very well-structured four-hour interview with the parents and also an hour observation with the child. Now, the subjective test is well-regarded across the world. There is some controversy in it, but my point is that it takes a doctor's call. It takes a subjective judgment, which may or may not be repeatable depending upon whom you talk with, whom you get the test from. Ours, however, and I want to caution that it's not ready for clinical use yet at all, but the results show it's the best thus far of any such potential biological marker on a worldwide search. And what it does is it can correctly say whether the person has autism or not, or can also rule out autism with high accuracy as well.
So if you take the subjectivity out and you make the diagnosis of autism objective, does that mean that we might catch autism earlier? And does it mean that the diagnosis would be more accurate?
It raises a lot of important questions that are as yet unanswered. In particular, we don't know whether this test is sufficiently focused on autism only. There could be other brain disorders such as ADHD or OCD, which could give rise to a similar phenomenon.
In terms of how water moves and that sort of thing.
In the brain, exactly. So that we are ongoing studies now to look at higher severity autism cases, children and adolescents with other disorders that may not be associated with autism, but we don't know yet.
And what about early diagnosis of autism?
Well, this is, of course, what everyone is seeking to do, to try to catch it early so it can be recognized and treated, managed properly. There is a strong potential for this test to be able to do that. The challenges are to catch the brain when it's properties, when its tissue has been differentiated well enough to discern the wiring of the brain from the rest of the part of the brain. And in the first 2 years of life, 18 months, 24 months, there is a rapid differentiation so that you can see the gray matter, which is the rest of the brain, and the white matter, which is the wiring. You can really see a separation from them. And that clear differentiation is needed in order to apply the test to make sure we can get an accurate measurement. Now, it turns out that diagnosis by the subjective test can be done now as early as 3 years, perhaps even earlier. So this could potentially be used in a conjoint manner with both to either confirm or deny.
Let's look down the road a bit, if we might. If you can, with this research, identify markers in the brain linked to autism, does that mean maybe someday we can figure out what's causing them and then maybe find a better treatment?
That's a very interesting and intriguing question, and there is the great potential for that. And we have placed ourselves in an area called intermediate phenotyping. Now, a phenotype is just how something looks, and it may be directed by your gene regulation, like you have green eyes and black hair. So what we're sitting here is in the middle of saying, we see something now in children who have already grown to the point where their genes are coming in and regulating things, but also the environment is coming in. We can measure this test in the brain, and we can look backwards. Say that the test shows that there is a lack of insulation in the wires. That could be regulated or disrupted by genes that are responsible for causing the wiring to be well insulated. So if we use the test and we look at it more closely to see what really is underlying in the problems, the disruptions in the wiring, we can then link it back to the genes that are responsible for that kind of wiring development.
And then maybe someday shut off those genes?
Well, or know what they are. Although autism is the most highly heritable of psychiatric brain-based disorders, it is still not known which genes cause autism. But if through our test we can pinpoint, we can narrow down that search to a few, then we can know how to follow those genes in development, either through an animal model or even in human through some blood samples. We can try to link those two together and make that connection.
And if things go well for you in terms of the other necessary research, how long might it be before the test is available for use daily?
Studies are ongoing now. The results from them will be ready within 1 or 2 years. Now, that seems rather rapid, and the reason why is because the measurements that we've taken are already available in the typical scan. So you don't need to build a new machine. You don't have to change the programming of the machine. You can extract these measurements that have already been there but have not been studied. Then we'll be at a point where we can say, take the next step, either combining it with other brain measures or other electrophysiology, other sorts of measurements, as well as extending it down to broader and broader aspects of the autism spectrum.
Nicholas Lang, thank you very much for coming in. Very, very interesting, and good luck to you.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, Bob. Thanks so much.
Nicholas Lang is the lead author of a new study about biologically based testing for autism. He's associate professor of psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School and director of the Neurostatistics Laboratory at McLean Hospital. He conducted the study in collaboration with researchers at the University of Utah.